Welcome to Morning Soap. At Fusion Church, our desire is to see everyone attend church and hear from God daily through His Word. The Bible reveals God's responses to various situations, and through daily devotions, we can reshape our thought patterns, transform our minds, and become more Christ-like. Join us here every Monday through Friday as different pastors and leaders from Fusion Church provide insightful devotions and teachings based on the day's scripture. For the current soap reading plan, visit fusionchurch.cc/soap and join us as we deepen our understanding and relationship with God.
Open up with prayer and see what God wants to do this morning. Amen. Come on. Dear God, thank you for today. God, thank you for this time we get to come together as one body under your name across many homes, across many workplaces, across many cars, Lord God, where we come together to find you today and find each other. Pray, God, your presence would meet us there. Holy Spirit, come, open our eyes and ears, hearts and minds to your word, to your love, to your grace, to your truth that you have for your people today. Pray I would decrease and you would increase. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right. So we're in Colossians 4 today. So wrapping up our short weekend in Colossians, right? So Book of Colossians is written by the Apostle Paul, and he's writing this book from prison, presumably in Rome, in Italy. Colossians 1 was on Friday with Pop, right? Pop Hernandez was giving us an incredible message and reminding us what kind of testimony we're giving, right? How our example is our testimony. Are we living out the testimony God's given us? And then over the weekend, we had Colossians 2 and 3 on Saturday and Sunday, which is where Paul was teaching who Jesus is, how to live in the spiritual fullness of Jesus, and how to treat others through the fullness and freedom he's given us, how we show others his love and his resurrection through that spiritual fullness, right? If you want more details, you can actually go back on your podcast platform and search Fusion Church Soap Colossians, and you see some other teachings have popped up. So we've done Colossians in the past. So if you want to get more detail, if you missed any of those, or dive a little deeper in, search Fusion Church Soap Colossians, whatever platform you use, whether it's Apple, Android, whatever it is. And you should be able to find other teachings on those chapters. This morning, though, we're wrapping up, like I said, in chapter 4. So starting off here in verse 1. I'm reading out of the NIV version this morning. Verse 1. Masters, provide your slaves with what is right and fair, because you know that you also have a master in heaven. This portion is entitled Further Instructions. Verse 2. Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful, and pray for us, too, that God may open a door for our message, so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ, for which I am in chains. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly, as I should. Be wise in the way you act towards outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation always be full of grace, seasoned with salt, so you may know how to answer everyone. This portion is entitled Final Greetings, verse 7. Tychicus will tell you all the news about me. He's a dear brother, a faithful minister, and fellow servant in the Lord. I am sending him to you for the express purpose that you may know about our circumstances and that he may encourage your hearts. He is coming with Onesimus, our faithful and dear brother, who is one of you. They will tell you everything that is happening here. My fellow prisoner, Articus, sends his greetings, as does Mark, the cousin of Barnabas. You have received instructions about him. If he comes to you, welcome him. Jesus, who is called Justice, also sends greetings. These are the only Jews among my co-workers for the kingdom of God, and they have proved a comfort for me. Epaphras, who is one of you and a servant of Christ Jesus, sends greetings. He is always wrestling in prayer for you, that you may stand firm in all the will of God, mature and fully assured. I vouch for him, as he is working hard for you and for those at Laodicea and Hierapolis. Our dear friend Luke, the doctor, and Demas send greetings. Give my greetings to the brothers and sisters at Laodicea and to Nympha and the church in her house. After this letter has been read to you, see that it also is read in the church of the Laodiceans. You, in turn, read the letter from Laodicea. Tell Archippus, see to it that you complete the ministry you've received from the Lord. I, Paul, write this greeting in my own hand. Remember my chains. Grace be with you. Amen to God's word. All right, so good. Whew. What way to end the book, right? So kind of diving in here, Colossians, right? So the church of Colossae, was an early Christian community located in the ancient city of Colossae, right? In a region where now it's modern Turkey. It's likely that it was actually founded, the church there was actually founded by Epaphras, who we heard from, who's been converted during Paul's ministry in Ephesus through the book of Ephesians, right? And so even though Paul didn't personally establish this church, he drank this letter to them while in prison in Rome to encourage them, to build them up, to instruct them, right, to guide them. So we're ending chapter 3 yesterday with a portion entitled Instructions for Christian Households, right? Now today, we're starting off chapter 4 with further instructions, right? And I love how these instructions are for anyone, regardless of your family situation, right? Chapter 3, you talked about wives submit to your husbands, husbands love your wives, parents and kids, right? These different dynamics, right? But here, these instructions for all of us, for anyone, you know? And it starts off with the best instruction we could get. Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. If you want to, you can also read the scripture in reverse, right? In reverse, it also applies, saying, being watchful and thankful, devote yourselves to prayer, right? Actually, one of my favorite prayers right now is, Holy Spirit, give me eyes to see, ears to hear, a heart and mind that are open to what you want to do, right? We need to have spiritual eyes and ears, not just to guide us in prayer, but to empower us, right? By being watchful and thankful, it's how we can be empowered to keep ourselves in prayer, especially when we don't know what to say or how to pray. When we're watchful and thankful, it gives us the tools we need so the Holy Spirit can guide our prayers, right? We can intercede, like Pastor Brent talked about a few weeks ago, make paga, right? In Romans 8, make paga through the Holy Spirit. And remember, prayer isn't just a Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen, open, shut book. You know, it's not like a start and stop time on a timer. It's not just a prayer time in the morning or prayer time at night. Prayer is simply a conversation with our Heavenly Father, amen? The conversation we're having right now, it's a natural, flowing conversation, right? The only difference is that on a Zoom or a podcast, you know, this is a one-way conversation, right? It's me talking at you. But in prayer, it's a conversation just as naturally, but it's a two-way conversation. A two-way conversation that includes us not just talking, but listening, right? We're not just talking to God. We should be talking with God in prayer, right? Being watchful and thankful. Seeing what's going on around us. Having gratitude, right? And devoting ourselves to prayer through being watchful and thankful. And Paul says, again, pray for us too, right? As you're being watchful and thankful, pray for us too. So who's us? Us is Paul and believers who are imprisoned with him, right? I love Paul, his heart, his passion, right? He's so mission-minded in what God's called him to, even in prison, that he's not praying for physical doors to be opened, but instead he's saying to pray for us, that God may open a door for our message, that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ, for which I am in chains. He's praying for a spiritual door to be open, for the message of the gospel to go out. And it really convicted me, you know? Are we praying? Am I praying for myself in that same kind of way? Are we praying for ourselves or asking others to pray for us to get us out of a situation? Or are we praying to see God move in the midst of a situation? Recently, last week actually, we were away camping. And as you know, pulling the camper back in our Tahoe, the Tahoe started having some issues. Long story short, we ended up being stranded in a parking lot off of Route 30 in Pennsylvania, 2.5 hours from home, with a busted transmission and a 23-foot camper behind us. So you know, so God made a way. Our family came picked us up. You know, we made it home safe. Praise God. But in the midst of it, I reached out to a connect group that I'm a part of. I need, you know, I lead connect groups, but I need to be in a connect group too. So I reached out to my connect group called The Power of a Praying Mom. It's a bunch of women and moms who just get together and just pray and intercede for each other, for our kids, for our families, all different areas of life, right? So I reached out to my connect group sisters and I said, what's going on? I asked for prayer. And one of the moms, one of my good friends in this mom's group, she prayed, you know, wrote and prayed for us, and she prayed for our safety and our provision. But she prayed this. Her words were, "Let the situation not be wasted." And man, that prayer meant more even than the provision and the safety, right? Let the situation not be wasted. And it encouraged me to hear her prayer, to read her prayer, you know? And we actually see what Paul's doing in verse 5. He says, make the most of every opportunity. So she's actually echoing his prayer, right? Let this situation not be wasted. Make the most of every opportunity, right? And we can't make the most of every opportunity if we're just trying to find a way out of the opportunity. Amen? Instead, what we need to do, we need to be watchful and thankful in everything going on to guide us in our prayer life. So I'll be honest, so reading my friend's prayer, that shifted my perspective, right? And so praying over a situation that was very frustrating, you know, very, could have been very scary. You know, there were storms coming in, lightning and everything, right? But instead, having eyes to see what God was doing that afternoon, you know, so instead, me and the kids, we ran outside in the parking lot. We danced in the rain. There's no one, other cars around. And so we danced in the rain. You know, we walked a half mile down the highway to go get Wendy's and get Frosties and lemonade. You know, we walked to the grocery store and got some candy to snack on in the car. You know, like those little things for us was able to make the most of every opportunity, right? Not trying to get out of the situation and be grumpy and impatient and get frustrated in front of the kids. Okay, God, like, what are you trying to do here? How can we invite your presence in? How can we invite your peace in, right? And even just me telling you this now, you know, hopefully it encourages you or in a situation you're in maybe, you know? And so even this, me sharing this testimony, or me sharing a little bit more, you know, later on, is the way my friend's prayer was answered, right? Let this situation not be wasted. You know, be able to have our kids have some happy memories and find joy, right? Even in the midst of sour situation, right? The kids, I was laughing with the kids. We liked that new song by Forrest Frank, Lemonade. And so we lived it out on Wednesday. We lived out, this is what it looks like, guys, when we have a sour situation, how can Jesus make lemonade out of the situation, out of our lemons, right? And so we did that, you know? That's what Paul's doing. That's what Paul does throughout the books he's writing, you know? Even in Philippians chapter 1 in verse 12, Paul again, he writes, "Now I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that what has happened to me has actually served to advance the gospel. As a result, it's become clear throughout the whole palace guard, and to everyone that I am in chains for Christ. And because of my chains, most of the brothers and sisters have become confident in the Lord, and dare all the more to proclaim the gospel without fear." See, so whether you're in prison, whether you're stranded on the side of a road, whether you're going through a storm of your own today, right? Paul's encouraging us here that he's not wasting the space or the opportunity that God's presented him, even when it's not desirable, even when it's not where we want to be, right? But being watchful and thankful allows us to let the gospel go out through our example, right? A reminder too that Paul was a leader in the church and he was still asking for prayer and sharing the message, right? That's why we need to be lifting up our pastors, especially Pastor Brendan and Pastor Danielle and Pastor Harry and Pastor Sean, our location pastors, right? And whoever is communicating on a Sunday, especially this weekend coming up with Youth Takeover on Sunday. Can we be praying in advance right now for our youth students who will be preaching the word on Sunday at Youth Takeover? We need to be praying for those who are communicating God's word. It's a heavy weight to carry at times. Looks great when you're on the platform and your light's on you and the podium and you look so fancy, a nice outfit, right? It looks like it's great, but it's really hard sometimes. It's a heavy burden to carry. I love this prayer, actually. Paul writes in 2 Timothy chapter 2, he's writing to his mentor, Paul, or Paul's writing to his mentor, Timothy. And Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, he writes, "Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who does not need to be ashamed and who correctly handles the word of truth." That's my prayer for myself when I come on here in a soap. That's my prayer for Pastor Brendan, whoever's preaching on a Sunday, right? Paul knew the weight of carrying the gospel, and he was brutally beaten for it. He was brutally imprisoned for it, right? He knew the weight he carried, both physically and spiritually, and yet so even as a leader, he needed people around him to be praying for him and lifting him up, right? So we need to be doing the same thing for our pastors and those who are bringing God's word inside, even outside of a church, right? It's praying for our connect group leaders as we go into this connect group season. It's praying for our connect group leaders, even those who are communicating and leading groups and sharing God's word, right? Doing our best to present ourselves as one approved, one who correctly handles the word of truth, right? As Paul continues here in verse 5, he tells his readers, us, "Be wise in the way you act towards outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation always be full of grace, seasoned with salt, so you may know how to best answer everyone." He's saying here to make the most, again, make the most of every opportunity. Having grace, having salt, right? Salt that brings healing, salt that brings flavor and brings attraction, right? That savory flavor. How much we eat something salty? You want more, right? More chips, more pretzels, more buffalo wings, right? Those, more appetizers at TGI Fridays or Applebee's, right? Those salty, savory things, you want more of it, right? So as your conversation is full of grace, let it be seasoned with salt to bring healing and even more desire from other people, right? And how do we do that? Can we go back to the very first, or second verse? How do we do this? By being watchful and thankful and asking the Holy Spirit in prayer, devoting ourselves in prayer to the Holy Spirit for wisdom and discernment, asking Him for the words to say and the words not to say, honestly. It's one thing if it's giving us the words to say. Sometimes I need to pray for the words not to say. Holy Spirit, guide my tongue, right? As we close out the first application question here, this first portion, question is, how can I devote myself to prayer more this week? How can we be praying more for our pastors, praying for our youth students who are communicating and serving at Youth Takeover on Sunday, praying for the school staff and the students before a back to school superhero Sunday coming up, praying for Operation Orange and the outreach opportunities we're going to have throughout South Jersey across 19 schools and 4 counties. How can we be watchful and thankful over this next week and allow the Holy Spirit to guide our prayers in preparation for what God wants to do throughout South Jersey? Amen. This next portion here is entitled Final Greetings. And honestly, I was reading this portion, and this is a powerful book, Colossians. And with Paul teaching about revelation on who Jesus is and how to live out our faith, right? And so reading this portion, the final greetings, and I'll be honest, it felt kind of out of place, you know? It feels like here's this great, powerful 3 chapters of who God is, who Jesus is, how we can walk with Jesus and live like Jesus. And then here's, it feels like Paul's personal laundry list of shout outs, right? I'll be honest. I asked the Holy Spirit, why are these people getting highlighted in the same letter that Paul's writing such powerful praises and messages about Jesus? What do these people have to learn from? What can we learn from them, right? And what can we learn not just from Jesus and Paul, but from each of these leaders and co-laborers in the faith in this last chapter? So kind of looking through this list of all these individuals, right? In verse 7, we have Tychicus. And in verse 9, we have Onesimus, right? How are these guys introduced to us? They're both faithful. This word, that Tychicus was a faithful minister and fellow servant, and Onesimus is a faithful and dear brother. Both of them are dear brothers and faithful, right? In Acts chapter 20, he actually mentions Tychicus as being from the province of Asia. In Ephesians 6, it mentions him again as a dear brother and faithful servant of the Lord. And I'll tell you everything you need to know about him, right? A dear brother and a faithful servant of the Lord. And he's writing this book in both Colossians and Ephesians. And Paul writes that he will tell you everything. And he's being sent, Tychicus is being sent to the people to know how we are, that he may encourage you. That Onesimus, we read it in Philemon, verse 10 and 16, that Onesimus is actually an escaped slave from another believer in Colossae. But instead of viewing him as a slave, in Philemon, Paul writes, "My son, Onesimus, who became my son while I was in chains, no longer as a slave, but better than a slave, as a dear brother. He is very dear to me, but even dearer to you, both as a fellow man and as a brother in the Lord." As anyone who has had someone in their life that was not faithful to them, we can attest, those of us who have had unfaithful people in their lives, we can attest to the power and the trust and the gratitude of having someone who is faithful in our lives, right? When you've been hurt, whether it's in relationships, in a workplace, in a church even, and someone's been unfaithful to you, having someone who's faithful, who's a dear brother or sister, someone who you can count on through every season of your life is so such a blessing, right? So lucky to have someone like that. It's a blessing to have that in your life. So in the season that Paul is in, being imprisoned and isolated, these faithful individuals were a lifeline, not just in sharing the gospel, but helping Paul in his own journey and finding his own personal joy and hope and sustainability, right? Bottom line is that as we see throughout this whole portion here, that even Paul needed his own connect group, right? Paul needed essentially a connect group here of 6 or 7 individuals, right? As Pastor Brenham called them yesterday, his message, he gave us the step in our journey to find unshakable confidence. One of the steps was to surround yourself with faith boosters, right? Surround yourself with faith boosters. Stay close to people who speak encouragement, share testimonies, and remind you of God's truth. These are Paul's faith boosters from 2,000 years ago. And this is an early plug, shameless plug for our fall connect groups, which we'll be launching September 2nd. Mark your calendars, get ready for the emails and texts and all the other information details coming out in the next couple weeks. Because if Paul, as a leader in the early church and a prominent writer in the New Testament, couldn't do life without his faithful friends in his corner, what makes us think we can, right? Is there anywhere else any connect group leaders? Final call for any connect group leaders, right? To help create spaces and facilitate groups for people to find connection with God and each other. Just as Paul was doing here, right? Paul is finding leaders to build up his church, even if he can't do it himself from prison. And not just are these men faithful, but they're coming to share the testimony of Paul and their own testimony of what's going on in Rome in order to encourage your hearts, it says. Encourage the hearts of those receiving this letter 2,000 years ago, and encourage our hearts now, encouraging us, how we can be an example, how we can be someone else's Tychicus, right? We can be someone else's Onesimus, and sharing what God's doing in the good times and in the hard times, and encouraging someone else around us with a message, with a testimony God's given us. Amen. We go down here, verse 10. We meet a few more guys. We meet Aristarchus and Mark and Barnabas and Jesus called Justice. So Aristarchus, in Acts 27, verse 2, Aristarchus, we meet him, and he's described as a Macedonian from Thessalonica. And this is actually when he was being taken on a ship under Roman imprisonment with Paul to Italy in Acts 27. He's also mentioned alongside Tychicus in Acts 20. In this moment here, Paul is being seized by a mob in Ephesus in Acts 19. In Acts 19, he's getting Aristarchus is getting seized with Paul. So even Aristarchus, he was a guy who was faithful and knew how to be with Paul even in the hard times, right? Being imprisoned on a boat, being seized by a mob, right? Like, him and Paul did not have good luck going places, right? All the time. And so he stood by Paul through that. And Mark and Barnabas, these two gentlemen actually have falling out with Paul in Acts chapter 15, verse 36. It tells us that sometime later, Paul said to Barnabas, "Let us go back and visit the believers in all the towns where we preach the word of the Lord and see how they are doing." Barnabas wanted to take John, also called Mark, with them. Paul did not think it wise to take him. They had sharp disagreement that they parted company. Barnabas took Mark and sailed for Cyprus. So we see here that there was some disagreements. And again, they were both believers. All three of them believers. They didn't always get along, right? Because they were still human, you know? They're great leaders, great writers, but they also were human. And not everything went smoothly, right? And so the readers of this letter would have known who Barnabas was in relationship to Mark, right? Which means they also probably would have heard what happened, chances are, right? But instead of gossip, instead of slander, right? Paul is writing here of reconciliation. He said, what does he say? He says, "You've received instructions about him. If he comes to you, welcome him." So we see this reconciliation for the sake of the gospel, right? And that they put aside their differences, they put aside, you know, disagreements to stay on mission for what God was calling them to. So same thing for us. Do people hear and see warm greetings and welcomes when we talk to people who don't agree with us? Do we see people who have maybe religious or faith-based differences? People who have differences in a workplace project, people have differences in political views or social views, whatever it may be, right? Do people see warm greetings and welcome still coming from us? Are we part of causing more division, right? Paul is here to unify. Paul is here to bring strength. Paul is here to bring his people, God's people together, right? And so we need to be doing too. Again, like he said, right? Having our words full of grace, seasoned with salt. He lived that out himself and how he treated other people, right? How he spoke about other people. And then justice. Remember, because Jesus was not only the name of a savior, right? Jesus was a common name back then, and also called Justice. Because I'm sure if there's, you know, we're talking about Jesus, and your name's kind of Jesus, it's kind of awkward, right? So he went by Justice, I guess. And this is actually the only mention we see here of Justice. And all we need to know is that he was a Jewish believer and comforted Paul. Because no matter how on fire or on mission he was for Jesus, Paul still faced hardships, right? We still need people to come alongside us who are believers to be our comfort, right? And that's why I'm so excited for Operation Orange and Superhero Sunday, ways that give us outreaches and opportunities to be comforts to others. Amen. We can be someone else's justice in their lives on Sunday or this upcoming back to school season. Amen. Verse 12, we meet Epaphras, who's actually a native of Colossae, right? He says he's one of you. And Epaphras is actually credited with founding the church there and being converted by Paul through his ministry in Ephesus. And then once he was converted and became a believer, Epaphras actually went back to his hometown and established these churches in Colossae, Laodicea, and Hierapolis. And then he was actually later imprisoned with Paul in the book of Philemon, verse 23. Read that, my fellow prisoner. He's in prison with him. And even though he was a convert to Christianity, it says that he wrestled in prayer for those around him and under his care and leadership. He was a faithful co-laborer with Paul, not just to Paul, but in the kingdom of God, right? It didn't matter that he didn't have the same pedigree as Paul. It didn't matter that he was a new believer, right? He had no insecurities, but he didn't not know how to pray, right? He didn't have the self-doubt that, oh, I'm not Jewish, I'm just a Gentile, right? He had no fear, he had no distraction of prison. He was so focused on mission after being converted that Paul calls him a servant of Christ Jesus. That's the only label, only name that matters, right? A little further down, in verse 14, we have Luke the doctor and Demas, and we also have Nympha. So Luke the doctor is a friend of Paul, right? He's actually the author of the book of Luke. Remember, Luke wasn't a disciple of Jesus. It was an account written by this Luke the doctor, who also wrote the book of Acts, which would make sense then, right? How this relationship between Luke and Paul, the budding relationship as they're writing together and sharing the gospel through their letters, right? And then Demas is the only name so far without any positive affirmation behind it. So in Philemon, verse 24, both men here are listed as my fellow workers. But then in 2 Timothy 4, verse 10, Paul actually writes that Demas, because he loved this world, has deserted me and has gone to Thessalonica. And so this reminder here that we're reading is that even though these were his supporters, not everyone was there for the long haul, right? That Demas was only there for a season. And yet in 2 Timothy 4, Paul writes later on that everyone who deserted me may not be held against them, but the Lord stood at my side and gave me strength. So maybe you're listening to this and you have a Demas in your life, someone who is a lukewarm friend, just an acquaintance, someone who's left your life maybe. But the Lord stood at Paul's side through that and gave him strength through that, even when others deserted him, right? And then we also here have meet Nympha. Depending on your translation, it could say her house or even his house. There's some debate over the feminine or masculine form of this name through traditional manuscripts. And regardless of the gender, we hope you'll hear about this person is that they were a leader of a home church, a home church, like fellowship group, like a connect group, right? The book of Acts, the first connect groups, right? Meeting people's homes to share the gospel and share these letters from Paul, right? And regardless how we, have different callings and resources available to us. Paul was in prison. Nympha was in their home, her home. They had different resources, but the same mission, right? And Paul never said he was jealous. Paul never said that he wishes he could have a house church like her. He never wishes that, he could go and be there and not be in prison. But he understood the partnership it took see the kingdom of God grow. So he has a partnership with Nympha, and that partnership is greater than pride or insecurities or a jealousy, right? He's partnering with her to build God's kingdom up, one house at a time, one home at a time, one community at a time, right? Something we need to be doing through our connect groups, through our outreaches like Superhero Sunday, right? Inviting people into our house, into our places where God's presence is, right? And then we invite the last person here, Archippus. In Philemon verse 2, Paul calls him our fellow soldier. And it's possibly thought that he was actually related to Philemon as part of his family and the church that meets in your home, right? So again, Philemon was another leader of a home church. And Archippus had a calling on his life, but he needed the encouragement and the strength of those around him, again, community, right, to complete it. That's what he says here. Paul says, see to it that you complete the ministry you have been received from the Lord. But he's not writing it personally to himself. He's telling the Colossians, tell him for me, right? Tell him, encourage him yourselves to complete the mission God's given him. So we need each other, right? We need each other to complete the missions God's given us together. Amen. So second application question, as we go through this list of names, which of these names stood out to you? What do you need to learn from that person? Again, these aren't just characters in the story. These are real people that really lived, right? So what do you need to learn from them today? How can you seek to be more like that person of faith in your own calling or in your relationship with others today? Last verse, almost there, I promise. Verse 18. This verse was so powerful, I need to be on its own. I, Paul, write this greeting in my own hand. Remember my chains. Grace be with you. Remember my chains, he writes. Not remember my words of wisdom and encouragement. Not remember my title or my leadership. Not remember my great personality or my sense of humor. Remember my chains. I even remember my teachings, right? Remember my chains. Because his chains were how Paul was living out his faith and his testimony. Your example, how you live out the testimony God's given you, will always be more powerful than your words. Paul could be writing on a letter and saying one thing, unless he was actually living it out and doing it, it gave no credibility to his words, right? Remember my chains. Remember that what I'm going through for you, for the gospel, is hard. Remember that though, even though it's hard, I'm still here because it's worth it. Remember my chains, right? How can we do that for someone else today? What do we want to be remembered by, right? That's our third application question as we close out. What do you want others to remember about you? How can you put your faith into action and be an example to others this week? Again, we have Operation Orange Outreach this week, our packing and delivery teams. We have inviting someone to Superior Harris Sunday, a family member, a coworker, a teacher, or a school staff member who's a friend of yours, right? Putting your faith into action by inviting them to come out on Sunday to get prayed over. Making the decision to get baptized and publicly declaring your faith in Jesus, right? Being an example for other believers to be encouraged. What do you want others to remember you for? So we've wrapped up today. Our three questions again. How can I devote myself to prayer more this week? Question two, which of these names stood out to you? And what do you need to learn from them? How can you seek to be more like that person of faith in your calling or your relationship with others this week? And question three, what do you want others to remember about you? How can you put your faith into action and be an example to others this week, even in the change you feel like you're in? Amen? Come on. God, thank you for this time. God, thank you for your word. Thank you for the love and the grace and the truth you give to us through your word. Holy Spirit, show us this week how to be watchful and thankful. Give us the words to say and the words not to say. Give us the grace and the salt in our conversations. Bring the right people around us, Lord God. Those of us who need more encouragement, bring those people. Those who need examples of faith boosters, God, bring the right people, the right connections. And God, those of us who need us to be faith boosters, those of around us, God, who need your hope, your encouragement, your love, and your grace through us, God, make the right connections so we can be your hands and your feet, your heart and your tongue, Lord God, to those who need you most. Guide our prayers, Holy Spirit, and show us what you want to do in the season ahead. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right. Love you guys. Take care. Talk to you soon. God bless.